This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. We'll begin with a clip from producer-director Robert Greenwald's Iraq is for Sale, introducing the Blackwater Corporation, one of the war profiteers profiled in the DVD.
After 9/11, business boom.
Blackwater is a sleek, glossy, fast-moving sports car in the world of private security companies.
Blackwater is one of the largest and most conspicuous security firms in Iraq, staffed largely by retired U.S. military, including former members of the Special Forces.
They started off as a training facility.
They offered range space, they trained sportsmen, missile target systems.
5 years ago, they were just about to go under, and then this Iraq war started.
Business boomed.
We have gone beyond the legitimate use of these people to use them as stopgap measures where you get into real legal and ethical and moral questions.
A convoy of Blackwater vehicles passed the vehicle, and the first one kicked it off the road, and the last one, as it passed it by, shot the man in the vehicle and put 100 rounds roughly in the vehicle. Turned out the man just finished dropping off his two sons at one of our bases, Taji, because they were part of the Iraqi National Guard. So there's a certain amount of irony in that, because obviously the man was not a threat.
The contractors were not under the control of the military. They were given far greater latitude, and they were allowed to do whatever they want. Certainly that did not do much for the American image. That did not win the hearts and minds of the Islamic community.
The company says it can assemble hundreds of battle-ready men, a small private army at a moment's notice.
To have a private army, that's a frightening concept, and one that really, I hope, doesn't take hold in this country.
Such a possibility of being so out of control with no checks and balances, there's just no limit to what could happen with that kind of organization and with the kind of training that they have.
He's taking cover, you got more coming.
Jesus Christ.
They just built a brand new headquarters.
8,000 square feet in the original building, 64,000 square feet here.
Blackwater has recruited key individuals from the government, and now Blackwater is getting key governmental contracts. You do the math.
Certainly we've left room for growth.
Growth, because Taylor believes Blackwater has a bright future.
There's opportunities all over the world.
There shouldn't be any private armies. That's just asking for trouble.
Yes, Iraq is for sale. And the war profiteers are the only winners. This film, Iraq for Sale, uncovers the connections between private corporations making a killing in Iraq and the decision makers who allow them to do so. It is a searing indictment of the war profiteering perpetrated by four companies: Blackwater, Cockey, Titan, and KBR Halliburton. The film's producer and director, Robert Greenwald, joins us. Now, this is a searing indictment, no question about it. You know, I was thinking to myself as I watched the film, and I can't say trilogy anymore, which I did about your prior film, so you've created, maybe this is the fourth or fifth horseman of the apocalypse. But, you know, Michael Moore had always used ridicule and levity to draw the public into his protest of U.S. Foreign policy. And you wield hypocrisy in this film as a sword to cut the corporations really to ribbon as they traffic in war profits. Why these corporations? Why did you choose to tackle the war using Cockey and Blackwater and Halliburton?
Well, a friend of mine, actually, Bob Borisaj, who runs the Campaign for America's Future in Washington, D.C., suggested it to me as a film as a subject, as a story that wasn't being covered. And I said, sort of naively, well, isn't it really just, you know, a few bad guys? And he encouraged me to begin the research. And what I found was quite extraordinary, to my mind, in terms of the size of profiteering, the scope of profiteering. And then what we do in the movie most dramatically, most white-collar crime is kind of, you know, we've been taught that it's victimless. It really isn't. But it's hard to see how it specifically hurts people. Well, with war profiteering, corporations do what they do, which is cut corners to maximize profit, and people are being killed as a result of this. So the movie is very wrenching because we have mothers whose sons were killed because Blackwater did not follow the rules and tried to save money. We have truck drivers who work for Halliburton who tell stories about their best friends being killed because Halliburton, in an effort to maximize profit, sent them to places they shouldn't have been. And we have interrogators from Abu Ghraib telling us that there were private contractors doing interrogation for profit working for Khaki Corporation. So it really opened my eyes, and what we found was this emotionally powerful and I think really important material, which is now all in the Iraq for Sale film. And most importantly, the film is a tool for the listeners like yours all across the country to use it to push and force this issue of war profiteering into the election cycle and ask senators and members of the House, and have they fought this? Are they stopping it? What are they going to do about it?
I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the Republicans and especially Bush want to privatize everything in sight. But even to me, it's surprising that he would go to such extents with regard to the war. To what extent is this something that is unprecedented? And also, could you get into the, especially Khaki and also the Blackwater, when they do interrogation, when they have soldiers, when they have mercenaries, whose orders are they following?
Well, it's a very good question. They're following the orders of the corporations that they work for. They are not following the orders of the U.S. military. And when they commit crimes, because they're not in the military, ironically, there's no court to bring them to justice. They're literally there's like thousands and thousands of private contractors, many of them running around with guns in Iraq, and nobody's being brought before any legal system because they're exempt from the military laws and the Iraqi laws do not apply to them because Bremer got over there and made sure that didn't happen. So the film raises all of these questions, and again, I thought that I was pretty well read, and when I started hearing these soldiers, these interrogators, and these translators tell us what went on at Abu with private folks being paid large sums of money by their corporations to come in there, I was pretty shocked. Now, it has gone on, but it's never gone on at this level, at this extent, and without any oversight of any kind. And your tax dollars are going so that Halliburton can charge you, every listener, $100 when they send the laundry out to have it done, or $45 for a six-pack of Coke.
I guess I felt a little differently than you, Ken, because my experience in looking at any war is that the corporations have been profiteers. Certainly they were with Nazi Germany or any other kind of war. They profiteer. That's what they do. They're driven to make monies.
I think there's new frontiers that they're crossing in this one.
Well, I guess we'll ask Robert that. But what really did kind of interest me is the idea that they were in as interrogators in Abu Ghraib. That really kind of struck me as most remarkable. I will tell you, Robert, one of my concerns, I am not immediately grabbed into the film in one sense, and that is the young men who initially lose their lives in what was quite a media event in Fallujah are, for my way of thinking, they are soldiers of fortune. They are mercenaries. They contract out in wars, just as mercenaries did in apartheid and so on. But at the same time, I only kind of grabbed myself and said, the way that you tackle this, which is really not traditional of a left psyche in some ways, is really geared to grab people in and say, on any level, the hypocrisy, the reality that corporations first and foremost always use people as cannon fodder to their own interest and drive for profits, is so engaging that how can you not come out condemnative of these war profiteers?
Well, that's exactly my position on it. That is, the corporations and the boardrooms who are the problem. The fact that some young men may need to pay for, you know, his mortgage or his kid's education, who were made promises that were then gone back on, in which the corporation literally broke laws and sacrificed these men, whatever you may think of their decision. It was a decision in many cases. I mean, the truck drivers, over and over again, they said, we went to Iraq to do the right thing. We wanted to help rebuild the country. We wanted to support the troops. Many of these people are not BAI listeners. They're not people we might be agreeing with on a range of policy issues. But to me, that's the extraordinary opportunity with the film and the organizing principle, which is we can reach many people who are not agreeing with us on everything and say to them, okay, because, you know, there's that great, I think it's Chomsky's line, first you divide, then you conquer. You know, here is a great way to point out the inherent contradictions between a small elite group of corporate criminals and everyone else.
I think that was Julius Caesar's line, but I'll look it up some other time. I want to get
back to the librarian, so I would trust him on
probably
that.
Probably a line going all the way back, actually. But I wanted to get back to the interrogators because certainly, I mean, there are certain things that you could say. Well, I mean, you know, it's not most efficient to do it this way, but, you know, let's see what's the best way of serving food to the troops. I mean, I think that it should be in a traditional way, but you can make an argument.
Right.
But interrogation in a prison involving torture, do you want to get into that?
Yes, I sure do. Well, let me approach it from a couple points of view. Again, first of all, let me be really clear. Many people at all levels of the military were absolutely opposed to the outsourcing of interrogation from a simple safety point of view. They had no control over the interrogators. They didn't vet them. And at the end of the day, the interrogators go home with the information. Now, that's just insane on any kind of level, right? That the interrogators at a certain period of time, well, they leave, and now they have that information with them, and their loyalty is to the corporation, number one. Number two, a lot of this is a function of an administration that went to war and to the post-war without sufficient resources, and now they're going out and trying to hire people either to fight the war or to fix the problem. Well, it's very deceptive because you now have thousands and thousands of additional men over there, primarily working for these corporations, who the democracy, the society, isn't even aware that they're over there. So you have all these elements coming together, and the interrogation you had, you know, Janice Karpinski is in the movie, and she talks about the fact that when the interrogators came there, the private contractor interrogators, they were older, they were more experienced, they were getting paid more money, they were giving the troops orders, telling them what to do.
And, of course, Karpinski had oversight over the prison and has since been sorely castigated as she has departed or refused to be the whipping person, really, for the administration as it was caught in these torture machinations. You know, I really have to commend you. When I meant trilogy before, you've been able to turn out one film after the other that has really revolutionized in many ways film watching on the internet, has had an enormous impact. I still get a kick out of the fact that I passed a corner eatery where I live. It's a bar eatery, and there was recently the film, your last...
You talk about Outfoxed?
No, the one...
Walmart or Tom DeLay?
Yes, it was Outfoxed. That's absolutely what it was being shown. And this is not, a kind of left neighborhood in any sense. And I figured you've been able to popularize and bring culture and bring progressive culture and condemnation of brutality, whether it's corporate brutality in the form of Walmart or now Halliburton, etc., to the American public in a really palatable, digestible, non-arrogant way. And that is enormous. And now I know that you are paying the price in one sense, and the White House has been rather unhappy with you as of late.
You know, you're known by your enemies, and when on the last time go-round, when the New York Post called me a Nazi propagandist, a nice Jewish boy from New York, I knew that I had really arrived. But you know,
indeed.
let's talk a few weeks. I mean, talking. I think you really hit on maybe the most important thing, which is alternative distribution, which is what we do, which is why going to the website and ordering the film is so important. But it really is, as I say, it's not Universal Studios, it's not Paramount, we know it's not Fox Studios distributing these films, but it is the thousands of people all across the country. And that's what's amazing. They find the ways, they find the places, whether it's a bar, a pizza parlor, a bowling hall, a church, a synagogue, any of those places are where people can, wherever there's a TV screen, they can hold a screening. And that is a revolutionary change, but it does require thousands of people going to iraqforsale.org, getting the film and saying, you know what, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and just be pissed off and just send an email to my friends about some new terrible thing. I'm going to do something. And what the films do, they're really a tool. They allow people at the corner bar or wherever it is to create a screening and to begin to organize using the films. And to me, it's a miracle and it's a joy that I'm able to participate in that, really.
You know, the film has gotten a lot of reviews, but it seems as if they highlight two things. The six-pack of Coke that costs $45 and the way you distribute the film. And they don't seem to get the reviews don't seem to get much beyond that. If we're talking about, say, Halliburton, which is charging the $45 for the Coke, what else do you want to say about Halliburton?
Figures they use Coke, too. But anyway.
Well, what we're doing with, and we're doing a whole viral campaign, by the way. Again, if you go to our website, you'll see we took a Halliburton ad, stripped the words out, because, you know, we do film, and put our words in the mouth of the Halliburton guy. So instead of him saying, oh, you know, we're wonderful and we're just here to help world peace, we say, of course we're screwing the troops over, and of course we're doing all these bad things.
You've heard a lot about Halliburton lately. Criticism is okay. We can take it. Criticism is not failure. Our employees are doing a great job. We're feeding the soldiers. We're rebuilding Iraq. Will things go wrong? Sure they will. After all, I didn't say we were feeding the troops well, or that we were rebuilding Iraq in a way that will benefit the Iraqis.
Listen, as CEO, I've made over $42,637,920.
And the closest I've been to Iraq was accidentally changing the channel to C-SPAN when they were talking about it. Why would I want to go to Iraq?
I'm the CEO. The Arabs should come to me.
You close your eyes and randomly toss a dart on the Senate floor and you'll hit someone in my back pocket. It's not like any of you can stop me.
Hell, if Iraq was any more for sale, they'd be selling pieces of it at Walmart.
My name is David Lassar, and I am a war profiteer.
Halliburton, it's not what we know, it's who we know.
David Lassar, head of Halliburton, since the war began, has made over $100 million. Now, how on any grounds is that acceptable? Under what scenario can you possibly say that's okay? Or J.P. London, the head of Kaki, who's a bullying company that threatened us, they sent us a letter saying cease and desist, and I sent a letter back saying, you know what? If I had made $20 million from the war, I might want to shut people up, but it's not going to happen.
Righteous arrogance.
Yes.
But they're private corporations. Can't they do it cheaper and better?
Well, yes. Well, you know, that
I gave you that one, didn't I?
Thank you. You know, you'll see in the film, and we have all this on the website, I mean, first of all, we know they can't because they're making a profit. And second of all, it's not that Blackwater or Halliburton even goes and does the job. They'll hire a corporation. a smaller one, and then that corporation will hire another one, and another one, and finally you've got some guy in Iraq, a third-party national, as they call him, not even an Iraqi, doing, you know, laying the bricks at a hospital. He's making $3 a day, but figuratively on his back are four corporations, each taking big pieces of our tax dollar. So it's an atrocity in terms of any kind of rational functioning, and it also is horrible in terms of Iraq because they're not hiring Iraqi people to do these jobs.
You did it with the Walmart film, and you do it with this. In fact, you've done it with all of your political films, and the films are political, and they have an element of culture, how people in different venues live their lives. And what was so insightful to me, with very little melodrama or photographic concoction, etc., there's a story of the daily lives of people and the daily hurts and the pains, and you humanize people, even whom I might not be so sympathetic to. And it's a splendid story that is contrasted with just the workers, the working class, with all of its foibles, and again, the enormity and barbarity of corporate greed and profit. And I really have to commend you on that and really kind of mandate our audience to look at this film and be its emissaries, use it in your work sites, and use it in those eateries and other places so that you can continue the mobilization process. And it's a particularly interesting way of looking at condemnation of the war effort through the exploitation of these particular corporations. So I was totally entranced by the entire film.
Well, thank you. And some of the strongest support we're getting is from some of the soldiers. I just come back from a week touring all over the country, and evening after evening, soldiers would come up to me and thank us for doing the film, for, you know, because again, as I didn't think about till I got into the movie, you have a soldier working right next to somebody who's getting paid four times what he's getting for the same job. Well, that was never how outsourcing or profitization, as I call it, was meant to be. It was, even if you believe in it, it wasn't to do the same function as soldiers and pay four times as much as that. And that's just for the person. And on top of that is all the profit. So, I mean, we see a very, you know, human story here, and that's what we all worked incredibly hard to get it done quickly, and to get it done very clearly by September, heading into an election season. We only started in January, so we worked insane hours and schedules because we want listeners and viewers and people to have something in their hands as the election gets closer and say, hey, look at this. How did my senator vote? How did my congressman vote? Or sending it to friends, neighbors, and using it as a tool to say these are the questions we need to be asking. And at bottom is what you said. It's a question of how much, when is enough enough? How much greed can the corporations have? And when do we start saying to them, hell no?
So you have to go to iraqforsale.org, get a copy of this film, start showing it, start using it as an organizing tool, because one picture and one film worth many thousands of words, regardless of whether Julius Caesar or Noam Chomsky said that.
And yes.
And also you can find out who else is showing it in the area and perhaps do your own screening in the area and put it up on the website.
So we'd like to thank you very much for your stellar efforts continuously to organize for social justice in many different avenues.
Well, thank you, and you know, thanks to all your listeners who continue to do the heavy lifting of getting the films out there, because, as I say, if we just make the films and people don't show them and take action, then they're a failure. But seeing the film and getting involved, making a phone call, writing a letter, joining an organization, sitting in at an office, you know, whatever it is, there's a wide range of stuff. But the only thing we can't do is do nothing.
Producer-director Robert Greenwald speaking to us about Iraq for Sale. And go to iraqforsale.org and see the film for yourself. Thank you. And this has been a Building Bridges, your community and labor report special. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. And tune in next week.
Indeed.
Wartime demands, allow them to expand.
Truck driving was a fun thing for him. He enjoyed it. He was told and convinced that he would be safe.
They all had driven trucks and were truck drivers before they went over there.
I went to make a better life for my family.
We were told we would not be sent into any areas of known danger.
Well, I trusted the company.
They told us, oh, you won't have to worry. You have plenty of protection. Guaranteed $140,000 in 9 months. Anything that sounds too good to be true usually is.
Can the Secretary of Defense, can the Vice President, can this administration take the military to war to feed the greed of contractors?
We've employed corporations, private entities, to carry out inherent government functions.
They should not be using civilians for combat operations.
A corporation is going to put human needs on the bottom if it conflicts with profit.
Basic safety precautions weren't taken.
Forcing them to go out and to drive into battle zones.
They cut corners left and right.
No sharpshooters, no escorts, no flak vests, no helmets.
No armor, no weapons.
No rear gunner, no armored vehicles, not even a map.
It's just wrong.
God damn!
Jesus Christ. God help us all, Lord.
How do you place a value on human life?
They're willing to sacrifice people.